So we're continuing our discussion of mitzvot. We're going to focus this class, and probably most of next class, unless we go really fast, on the topic of the land of Israel. I get a lot of questions from people randomly online, part of my other job. And one question I get from non-Jews for sure, and even Jews, which may sound obvious to each and every one of you who grew up with a strong Jewish identity, but for a lot of people, it's not clear. And that is, what is the connection between the Jewish people and the land of Israel? That is a serious question people have. And for those people who don't have it, because you guys are, yeah, Israel, of course. Most people, myself included, I went to yeshiva my entire life. I came from London, going to Israel was a 4-hour flight, right? I go to Israel 3-4 times a year. But what's the Jewish connection and claim? The Jewish connection to Israel did not start in 1948. It started a long time ago, further back than even each and every one of you realize. It doesn't even go back to the time of Har Sinai, right? Or 40 years later, the Jewish people entered in the Jewish year 2488, 40 years after Har Sinai. We're going to see the connected line of Israel goes back further than that and very deeply into who we are as a people. It is intrinsic to our connection to Judaism and mitzvot. Israel plays a part of it. Israel plays a part of it, whether we have possession of the land or not. Let's run through these sources. Some of these sources hopefully will amaze you, astonish you, and definitely inform you, and is a new part of this course. Are you all excited? Say yes, Rabbi.
Yes,
Rabbi. Let's begin on the second page. Okay, first page, you've got a summary. We're on page 2. What is the claim to the land of Israel? Let's go back, because each of the Avot were promised the land of Israel. Avraham was, and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Will someone like to tell me why each of the Avot? Those people who just walked in, I don't know why you're late, but you shouldn't be. Either way, here are the sheets you're going to need. Come forward. You're going to need this handout for the... you have one, okay. Thank you so much. Okay, you know, keep that to the back so that when the people come in late, you should sit at the back, right? So you can hand it out to them. Okay, so why was each... Let's start with this. Why were each of the Avot promised the land of Israel? Why did Avraham have to be promised it and Yitzchak and Yaakov? Why would each of the Avot have to be promised the land is the question. You can write that question down because the answer is going to be important. But I'll take an answer.
Are you asking why were they each separate?
Why were they each... We're going to see each separately. We're going to look at the words themselves. I'm going to show you the words from the Bible that promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's my American accent. You like that? Was that good? My Persian accent is much better. Why, however, was the land of Israel promised to each of the Avot? Let's say the land of Israel was only promised to Avram Avinu. Chumi. Let's say the land of Israel was only to the era of Avram Avinu. One mistake could have been made if only Avram Avinu was promised the land of Israel.
Then the other Avot thought that they
were. Well, not the other Avot. What might you have thought? Did Avram Avinu have various children? Yes, he did. He had Yitzchak, but he also had someone called Yishmael through Hagar. Had it only been promised to Avram Avinu, it would have only been located with... The Yishmaelites would have thought, it's ours too, because our Abba got it. So it had to be promised again to Yitzchak. But had it only stopped at Yitzchak, what would have happened?
Esav.
It would have gone to Esav, because he's also part of that chain. So it's also promised to Yaakov. And from Yaakov, his Mitol Shalem, he only had Jewish descendants, right? The Shvatim. So from then, it carries on. Let's have a look inside. Let's see some of these sources together I've collected. It starts in Bereishis. And we know that Avraham Avinu, one of the 10 tests, according to some, the first test of Avraham Avinu, of his 10 challenges, was the land of Israel. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, lech lecha, go, mi'artzcha, from your land, umratcha, umbeit avicha, from your home, birthplace, and the house of your father, el ha'aretz, asherecha, to a land that I'm going to show you. You are going to become a great person over there. And I'm going to bless you. You'll become very, very great. Why would this be considered a test? Why would this be considered one of the tests? According to Rashi and commentators, this is the first test of Avinu to go to the land of Israel. It's not mentioned the destination right now, but we see later on it was the land of Israel. Why is that a great test? Just get up and go. He was traveling around all the time anyway. Why is that so incredible? Why is it so difficult?
He didn't know where he was going.
One, he didn't know where he was going. Two, he was doing very well where he was. He was financially successful, extremely.
financially successful. He was spiritually successful. He was persuading many people to become monotheists, which is really his main role and the role of the Jewish people. He was doing great. And Hashem says, you know what? Forget that. You're going to have to relocate. Where is he told to relocate? To Eretz Yisrael, the land he was going to be shown. Okay? So the first thing we see is that you could be doing well elsewhere, but ultimately the destination is going to have to be the land of Israel. Just ergo. Yitzchak. Yitzchak was told to live in the land. By the way, something interesting about Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the only Av from the Avot who could not leave the land. Avraham Avinu goes in and out. Yaakov goes in and out. From what point is Yitzchak bound to the land? After Akedas Yitzchak. We don't get too much information on Yitzchak in general. But once he's gone through the Akedah, he becomes, according to Kabbalistic sources, a Korban, because he was willing to sacrifice himself. Once the Akedah hits, he's so Kadosh, he can't even leave the land of Israel. Even so, he was promised the land and his descendants. As it says, Hashem appeared to him and says, you're going to live in this land, and once again, I'm going to bless you. There it is again, Bracha. Eretz Yisrael and Bracha are connected. I'm going to give it to you and your descendants. Right? Your descendants are going to get it. Which leaves open other people, possibly. So we're going to have to jump down. As he says, just like I promised your forefather, right? Like I promised your father, Yitzhak, I'm promising you, this land is yours and your descendants as well. Simone, do you have a handout? Thank you so much. Yaakov, same thing. Now, Yaakov is promised the land as well. He's the last one, because from Yaakov comes all the Jewish people. And Yaakov's name changes as well. What does his name turn into?
Israel.
Yisrael. Let's have a look inside. V'yayel Elokim al Yaakov. And he says, he appeared to him again, and he blessed him. And he said to him, your name is no longer going to be Yaakov. However, we're going to call Yisrael. Avraham Avinu was great, but he wasn't called Yisrael. Yitzchak was great, wasn't called Yisrael. Yaakov was. Because from him comes the entire Jewish people. Hence the expression, the B'nai Yisrael, because you're all direct descendants from Yaakov. And that's how he gets his name. And he's promised as well, V'yom Elo Elokim, Ani Kel Shakai, I'm the Lord your God. Perer Veg Goy V'kal Goy Miyem Imcham Malachim, you can have nations coming out of you, you're going to prove there's going to be plenty of you, you're going to have royalty is going to come out of you, right? Vesa'aretz asher natati l'Avraham uli Yitzhak, as you see the first two sources, l'chatan, I'm going to give it to you as well. L'zarecha etanos aretz, you're going to get the piece of land called Israel. Okay? The whole reason, let's jump forward in history now. Stay with me. Focus. The whole reason, ladies, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim was to give them the Torah and take them to Israel. That was the reason. The original plan was an immediate entry into Israel. What, 3 weeks later? How long does it take to schlep that many Jews through a desert from Egypt? Okay, we're Jews, take time, got to do the hair, the nails, the shoes, okay, fine. But the reason we were taken out of Mitzrayim, Egypt, was to go to Eretz Yisrael. Right? The most painful thing for Moshe Rabbeinu, There's so much here. The most painful thing for Moshe Rabbeinu was Moses was not being permitted to enter into the land of Israel. It was his mahus. It was his essence. His whole life revolved around it. It was the hardest, most difficult thing. After hitting the rock, what that Avera entailed, we've talked about the Meraglim, the spies, was for the rest of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu was not held culpable for the spies, but he was for hitting the rock. He did not make it in, as did not his brother Aaron, his sister Miriam, Yoshua. For separate reasons at different times, but for Moshe Rabbeinu, that was his patch. He was not allowed to enter Israel. And he pleaded many, many times. Over 500 times. Vetchanan, exactly. This shows he wanted to get in. Why do you want to get in? You don't want to go on vacation. You don't want to hang out in Tel Aviv. You don't want to go hang out and sunbathe in Elat. He wasn't part of biblical Israel anyway, right? He didn't want to do that. So that's not what he wanted. He wanted because the majority of the mitzvot can only be performed in the land of Israel. 53%. 53%. Good question. It's not rude. It means no.
Absolutely.
And he tried, but Moshe Rabbeinu tried. He had he asked one more time, would have made it. You're gonna have to say that.
That's what Mecca says. Said, you can't pray anymore.
He stopped him. He stopped him praying, and Rashi says over there, Vethanan, he says no more. You ask one more time, and I have to let you in, you cannot go in. Not part of Safi. You're right, Leigh, it does not make sense. Truth is, we don't fully understand it. We try to give understandings of it, but they say, had he gone in, world history would have been completely different. He was not permitted in. He just wanted it, even just to glimpse that it was a big thing for him. That was his desire, and ultimately, we don't know the real reason. We're given reasons, but ultimately, you're right. The question is better than the answer.
Is Tiamat okay?
Going to
come in or not?
100%.
Why? 100%.
Ah, at that point, various things will be rectified. We'll get to Tchet HaMet and we'll see, but absolutely. Right? Ve'ered le'tzila. Don't worry, his reward is still great. You don't have to feel sorry, like, if you want a second Moshe Rabbeinu. Seriously. Chazal said, don't feel sorry for him. His reward is great. Yes. We're now number four. Right? Ve'ered le'tzila mi'ad Mitzrayim. Go and take the Jews out of Egypt. Right? Now we watch the movie, right? We should read the book. Because the book tells us, why did he come out? You see, we're told, and we grew up thinking, leave Egypt because we were slaves, we have to get out. The Torah tells us differently. The reason we get out is so we enter into Israel. That may not be PC to say, right, in all the stories and books and cartoons, but it's AC. It's not politically correct, it's absolutely correct. The Torah itself tells us. That was the reason we're taken out of Mitzrayim. To take the Jewish people into the land that is theirs. That was promised to the Avot, and we're going to see goes even further back than that. Let's jump forward. Who took over from Moshe Rabbeinu? I was learning from my daughter last night, Yoshua. Why did Yoshua get to take over? Was he a son of Moshe? No, he was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest student. Okay, he was the first in, arranged the chairs, he was the last out, he cleaned up, he got the job. Worth knowing. No nepotism in Judaism. Moshe Rabbeinu had sons. They were great. They did not get the job. But Yoshua did. Yoshua was the one. By the way, it's worth reading through the book of Yoshua. I know in Yeshiva, but I read through it. I think it's even a course in Yoshua here. I love that book. It's all about the ancient Israel. It's war. There's blood. There's everything. Everything you want over there. It's exciting. Right? Yoshua. I became obsessed with this book, Yoshua. I took for an entire summer when I was in Yeshiva. Right? Everyone was going away. I went through this book. Because, you know, Israel fighting action. You know, I was a young boy. I was getting excited about it. Right? Love it. Moshe Avdi, Mace. He says, my servant, Moshe Rabbeinu, is dead. Kum Avasiyah, you go over the Yarden. You know, when the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan, there were many, six miracles, revealed miracles that happened that took us in. You know the sea split at the Yam Suf with Moshe Rabbeinu? Did you know the Jordan split as well to let the Jews in? Did you know opinion that the Aaron, you should read through the book of Yoshua with the Mepharshim, did you know the Aaron they were carried them, they flew over the Kohanim were catching it, according to one opinion, they flew over the Jordan as a miracle. Did you know they actually wrote Torahs on rocks in 70 languages and left them inside the Jordan River as a sign? There were many great things that happened. They carried massive boulders into the land of Israel with the Torah written on them and then covered them over with Sid, with the... This whole entry into Israel was an amazing time for the Jewish people. Funny, you tell me the date the Jewish people left Israel.
Left?
Yes. Sorry, left Mitzrayim. What was the date the Jewish people left Mitzrayim?
Pesach.
Pesach, thank you. What's the date of Pesach? 15th of Nisan, thank you so much. Someone like to tell me the date we entered into Israel?
Same day.
It was close, not exactly. About the 10th of Nisan, a little bit before. Right? Amazing, right? We have all this information about leaving Mitzrayim and getting to Israel. Where then, right? The whole reason we left Mitzrayim was getting to Eretz Israel. There's a big discussion. We have the information. Just mentioned elsewhere. But it's worth it. The real reason is we're more into departures than we are into arrivals. That's another discussion, not for now. That's the truth. That's interesting. Happens to be. Anyway. 10th of Nisan.
So true. Moshe
Abdi Vatakum. He says, you're going to go across the Jordan. El Ha'aretz Asher Anochi Noten Lachem. Levnei Yisrael. To the land I'm giving to you. The children of Israel. So now we're in the prophets. We're in Joshua. Kol Makom. Every place Asher Tidrach Kafra Glechem. That you put your foot. Bolachem Netativ Kasher Debati El Moshe. That I promised Moshe. He's reminding us again and again and again. He tells Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Yoshua, the land is yours, go and take it. You can't make it up. It's here in the Bible. Right? Me'amidbar, v'halavanon azer, v'ad nar gadol, nar parat,
Kol Eretz, Achitim v'Adayim v'Gadol. By the way, this is biblical Israel, which is very, very, very big. It goes right up into Lebanon, very, very far. And it covers a large, large area. It's probably less long and more like sideways. But every piece of land that we take over becomes ours, right? Rabbi Vashem, a lot of the Sefer Yoshua is actually the division. How long did it take Yoshua to conquer the land? You got to know this stuff. Could you write this down? Could you write this down, please? 7 years. 7 years it took them to conquer and win over the land of Israel, to rout out the enemy. And they didn't even finish that job. How long to divide the land among the Shvatim? Oh, come on. 7 years as well. 7 years of Kibush, 7 years of, and 7 years of Chalaka to divide it up. 14 years altogether to conquer the land, and 7 years to divide the land. It's okay, we're learning. It's good. That's how long, Dina? Takes time. You had all the Shvatim, different plots, different places. Where exactly? Right? Each Shevet had to go to different places. Every Shevet besides Levi, absolutely. Then you had the two. You have Menashe, right? And Ephraim, Reuven, Gad, and Chetzi Meshet Menashe had to go back outside after conquering and take over Transjordan. It was a big process. Taking over a land ain't like what's happening to America and Iraq. You know what I'm saying? They try to help them get out. And then how long is it taking them? You know what I'm saying? Especially if the people inside aren't like welcoming you with a red carpet. Right? 7 years and 7 years. It's a big, big job. Yes.
When they were conquering the land, they were in it.
They went in with Yeshua, went in the land, in
where
the Kishkas.
They
were going, you're going through the land. Going through it. How long is it? Here's a good question. Let's talk Israel. We don't talk enough Israel, yeah? It's all politics. It's a spiritual element. How long does it take to cover the whole land of Israel by foot? How long did it take the Meraglim, the spies? It was a miracle. It 40 days. It was a miracle they managed to cover it. It takes actually 3 months to walk from the north to the south of Israel. I told you this before. It's a sponsored walk. There's a walk you can do. Sorry, a hike to Israel. It takes you right through. One thing I regret not having done. Trusted my wife into it. And she says, nah, you're not leaving in 3 months, dear. Okay. I want to show you something fascinating now. How important is the land of Israel to the Jewish people? It's not like any other person to every other land. Okay? It's not like any other group or society or nation and the land. The land of Israel doesn't go back to the time of Avraham Avinu. It goes back to the creation of the world. So those who haven't seen it, let's look at the first Rashi on the first pasuk of the Torah at creation. At creation. You gotta know this, by the way. Because you're going to argue with people during the life, they're going to speak about Israel. You Jews are never going to live to it, yada, yada, yada. You show them this information. This is crucial. I'm giving you gold over here. Bereishit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, says Rashi. First Rashi on Chumash. By the way, who was this Rabbi Yitzchak? The whole discussion of this Rabbi Yitzchak was, something was his father. Kind of some opinion. Most say not, but something was his father. He wants to start his commentary on Torah with across the toe for his Abba. Lo hayat tzarich lahatzchal the Torah ela me'achorish hazeh lechem. Why is the Torah beginning? The Torah is all about what? Mitzvot, for the Jewish people. Then tell me why the Torah began over here with the creation of the world. I don't need to know that. Let us start with the first mitzvah. What's the first mitzvah? That was the mitzvah given to the nation, not individuals. Right? Rosh Chodesh, right? Created in Mitzrayim. Not Hasi. In Mitzrayim ready. We had to start the calendar. You had to start the count of the calendar. Why that's so important? Not for now, but it sets Jewish holidays up. And Zman. HaChodesh Elachem. That's Rashi's question. Why do we start there? In the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. She mitzvah Rishon should start with Yisrael. The first mitzvah given to the entire Jewish people. We had Bris Mila, given to Avraham Avinu, and other stuff. But mitzvah as a whole, that was there. Right? Or Matan Bat Avraham. Why in Bereishit? Right at the beginning. And he gives a very famous answer. Those who have never seen this answer before, see it right now. He gives a few answers, by the way. But here's one. Mishum Koach Masav Higid La'amo. Follow bottom of page 3. He wants to show how great he is. Letet Lehem Nachla Goyim, to give them an inheritance of the land of the nations. She'ein Yomru Umata Olam. Because the other nations of the world are going to say, listen, Matan, you're thieves. Shekvashtem Atzot Shivas Goyim. You kicked out these seven nations. This is not your land. Sound familiar? This is not your land. This is Rashi. Rashi wrote this 1,000 years ago. And he's telling you what's going to happen. The non-Jewish nations are going to call us thieves. It's happening every day. Open any paper. It's unbelievable, this. It's a prophetic Rashi. Hem, and by the way, Rashi is not giving his opinion. He's telling you Peshat in the Pasuk.
He's saying inside the pasuk is the reason. You understand that? It's not Rashi just giving an opinion. Rashi's saying encoded in the words Bereshit bara Elokim et ha'shamayim ve'et ha'aretz is the idea that the land of Israel is going to be claimed by other nations. Therefore, Hashem does the following. Hen omrim lehem kol ha'aretz shel ha'kadosh baruch hu. We respond and we say, no, the world belongs to Hashem. How do you know? Because Hashem created the heavens and the earth. Hu bara, he created the world. V'natla l'shem yashar be'enav, and he gave it to who he decided to give it to. What right do the Jewish people have for the land of Israel? Because God said so. What right does God say? He created the world. It's his. Do what he wants with it. Barat son and Abdalahem. Through his will he gave it to them. That is the claim of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. Over us on Lotamahem. He decided to take it away from them. They didn't deserve it anymore. But Abdalahem gave it to us. And he gave it to us as a nachalah, as an inheritance. It goes back to the beginning of creation. One at a time, yeah.
But that doesn't help for people who don't believe.
Very, very good. Okay, first of all, most interestingly enough, okay, that's a modern-day problem, right? Most Jews don't believe. Doesn't mean it's not true, number one. How many most people do believe in the Bible, right? Christians among them. So I asked my rabbi the same question many years ago. I've asked many people this question, right? What's the use? So they say it's not for them, it's for us. It's for us. We should know. We should understand. So that when they say it, we can answer ourselves. Because we doubt it as well sometimes, as many Jews do. We should understand the preciousness and the importance of the land of Israel. By the way, we don't even know why. It's just a piece of land. If it's just a piece of land, take any land. But there's going to be something unique about this piece of land that has to be this piece of land. And only this piece of land. Let's turn over. Let's look at Yoel HaNavi, Yoel the prophet. So we're jumping in time as well. Okay. And here, Joel the prophet, Yoel HaNavi, I'm going to do many of these prophecies as well, because many of them are connected to the end of days, to Achrit HaYamim, on page 4. And he says, V'kibatz diyes kol, la'goyim v'aradus el emek Yehoshaphat, v'nishbat yimam. I'm going to gather together all the nations, bring down the valley of Yehoshaphat. Sham, alami v'nachalatol Yisrael, ha'shepaz rubagoyim v'at arzi chelko. And they're going to be dispersed among the nations, but I'm going to give it to the people as a possession, and they're going to divide up my land. This, most people say, is actually a reference to the end of days. Now, ultimately, we're going to see this as well. Okay. So what's unique about the land of Israel itself? Why do we look at the land of Israel? Let's look at note 1, section 2. I'm going a little bit fast over here, but we've got a lot to do.
So we just read that.
As well, we see it's connected to the end of days as well. Ultimately, it's going to be a final redemption. We're going to get to it as well. That's going to gather there as well over there. Okay? That means this battle, yes, this battle for the land of Israel is not past. It's past and present and future. It's an ongoing reality. It's not like you enter into the land of Israel, the time of Yeshua, and maybe the first, second temple, and we're there, and then we lose it, so we'll take Florida. Right, there's an eternal bond between the Jewish people and the land of Israel. Yes.
They divided up my land. Is that referring to between the Shvatim or between we gave God
I'm not sure.
I have to look at the question.
I thought that's what it was. I'm reading it. You're seeing it read a little bit differently. That they, the Goyim, did that as well. They divided up my land. I'm gonna have to look at the Mefarshim on this. Okay, I'll look into that. I don't know. Yoel is a prophet speaking the name of God. When a prophet speaks, this is what Hashem tells Yoel. And Yoel, when a prophet speaks, they're speaking the name of Hashem.
Oh, Yoel is a real name?
Yes, Yoel is one of the prophets. Okay.
When Mashiach comes, there's going to be fights.
Right before, yes. That's going to be concerning. According to the Rambam, when we get to Mashiach, we're going to learn that in detail. What, where. Done. Done, 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 done. Okay.
You said Mashiach
is a place.
It's our own.
A person.
It's our own.
Oh, No. You're thinking of Olam Haba. Olam Haba, where your neshama goes to, is something else. And Olam Haba refers to future times. Mashiach is a person, and it's going to revolve around the land of Israel, the place. We're going to get there. Ooh, we're jumping over here. Yes.
But if everybody's going to be united, we're just a nation, and then. we gave back pieces of Israel.
When are you talking about now? Where are you in history now? Okay, we'll have to come to that a little later. Let's go through this. We'll talk about that. Let's talk about that. It's interesting. I will discuss it with you gladly. We've got to get through a lot more sources. Okay, and then we'll discuss our relationship to land today. Can you give away land or not? I guess that becomes part of it, right? The whole Aliyah movement, the whole Zionistic movement, all these things are interesting questions. But let's just get through the Mefarshim and we'll come to it. So what are some of the characteristics of the land? How is the land described? So it says in Devarim, Ki Hashem Elokecha Mevi'echa L'Eretz HaTovah, the land is good. It's Tov, the Torah calls it good. Eretz Nachalei Mayim, full of waters, Einof Tamot, Yisum Kabahar. We see water coming forth from valleys. Eretz Chita, Usa'ora, Vegefen, Te'ein, Verimon, Eretz Zayit, Shem Dvash. There are seven species, Sheva Minim, that you got to learn those seven. My seven-year-old also learns, you have to learn them as well. There are seven species that are native to the land of Israel. It is from those seven species that we have this week's parasha, Bikurim. Bikurim, right? Kitavol Aras, you have to bring. Bikurim, the first fruits that were brought to the temple, was only from the Sheva Minim. It was only from the Sheva Minim. Okay? These are the seven species that are special to the land of Israel. We make different brachot after eating these, right? We don't make a brain of a shot. We have a special bracha, whether it's hamotzi or al hamichia, after eating them, and we mention Yerushalayim, so that we never forget that these, even if we're eating olives and grapes that come out of Eretz Yisrael, we mention them with Yerushalayim in the bracha. It's a special bracha achrona dedicated to them, even if they don't come from them. If they do, we change a little bit. But there's a special thing about, so we have to remember these fruits, we eat them outside, but every time we eat them, we remember the real connection to the land of Israel. These fruits connect us to Eretz Yisrael, no matter where they come from and where they are being eaten. And it says, Eretz Hashem Meskeret Tochal Ba'alechem, Loch Sokol Ba'aretz. Everything over there is open. You're going to eat without poverty. Okay? And it makes no sense. He says, the land which is Avaner Barzel, Maros Tachsov. They are stone and it's iron. It's not a very fruitful giving land. You know what I'm saying? Jaffa oranges. Sure. Gush Katif lettuce. Allah Shalom, right? So we see over here, right? Fantastic. It wasn't like that. The land is not very conducive. We'll see actually. There's a connection to the Jewish people living on the land and the land blossoming. And we're going to see later on in the course that one of the signs of Mashiach is coming is the blossoming of the land of Israel. That's one of the signs of Mashiach is coming. That's another discussion, not for now. You know Mashiach is close to the prophets. The prophets, when you see the land blossoming, it wasn't like that. For thousands of years, the land lay barren. There's a connection with the Jewish people living on the land and the land giving its produce, if they're behaving. If they're behaving. The land itself, the Torah itself uses an unusual expression. Something I brought over here. That the land is so sensitive, right? It is mekiyat yoshveya. It vomits out its inhabitants. And Rashi said the land of Israel is like a sensitive stomach. The wrong food goes in, whoop, out it comes. That's what Rashi on Chumash. And that possible. The land itself, by the way, not just Jews, even non-Jews. Notice how many people, how many nations have occupied the land of Israel. I think he's ejecting them. In, out, in, out. Shake it all about, right? They keep going. Because the land of Israel, the land itself does not tolerate things that other parts of the world do. There's something unique about the Adama itself.
So I guess people are
believing
now.
V'achalta v'savata. I hope so. V'achalta v'savata v'rech Allah. You shall eat, you shall be satisfied on the land, Hashem tells you. There's a connection between Tov and satisfaction with the land itself. That's what it says in the Torah. Let's see this milk and honey concept, which we've mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu, to others, what milk we're talking about and what honey we're talking about. Rabbi Bar Yechezkel Ikleid of Bnei Barak. Rabbi Bar Yechezkel traveled to Bnei Barak. It was a big city back then, 2,000 years ago. Chaznav l'nicho eze. He saw these goats, right? The achlan tute te'ene, right? And who were under these fig trees, right? Tute underneath, te'ene under, right? Or kanatif dusha mitene v'chalva tayef menayu ma'arav b'hadi adadi. He saw honey was dripping from figs, not from cows, right? From bees rather, and milk was flowing from the ears from the goats, and they were flowing in the streets and they were mixing together. And what did he say? Oh, haynu zavat chalav u'davash. This is the honey, and this is the milk. that Moshe Rabbeinu was promised, and promised to the Bnei Israel, the Jewish people, before they entered into the land of Israel. Josephus writes about the land before the Jewish people were expelled, and he says the whole area is beautiful, it's excellent. There's crops for pasturage, there's rich in trees of every kind, it's fertile. Right? He goes, I invite you, come look at it. Every inch of it has been cultivated by its inhabitants. Not a parcel of it. These Jews know how to take every single part of the land and make it give. It's thickly covered with towns, and thanks to the natural abundance of the soil. Okay? And it's a beautiful land. If you jump a couple of thousand years, the time of Mark Twain, he wrote about the land and says the exact opposite. And he was a fan of the Jewish people. And he talks about the land and how it was dry and barren. What's going on over here? Is it a beautiful pasturous land, right, that gives off beautiful crops? Or is it a dry, barren desert? You can't have both. And the answer is, depends who's on it and what they're doing on it. See, the land of Israel is not like any other land. Other lands operate on a fairly even basis, you know? Land of Israel is directly under Hashem's control. It depends on who's there and what they're doing in it. Turn over the page, look at the Marashah. He says, as long as Bnei Israel does not dwell in its land, the land does not give its fruits. Unbelievable. And look historically, this is true. Right, the Jews come in, they'll take vegetables and fruits out of land you never thought. Okay? But when she begins to flourish, however, and give her fruits, there's a clear sign the end of days are coming. We're going to spend a lot of time on this later on, when all of Israel return to their land. Okay? There's a connection with the Jewish people and the fruits. No coincidence, when the Meraglim went into the land of Israel, they brought out fruit. They brought out fruit. What does it say? And by the way, they spoke Lashon Hara about the land of Israel. They shouldn't have done that, obviously. Now, what does it say? It came to the land of Israel, took the fruits of Israel, and they brought it down to us. Okay, that's what the Bnei Israel said. Says Rashi, this tells something very interesting. Land of Israel is higher than all other lands. Now this discussion of Eretz Yisrael is Gevor Mikol Arzot, is higher than all other lands, needs to be understood. What is this speaking about? Okay? So the various commentators understand it in different ways. Some as a physical reality, and some as a spiritual, and some as both. So we know the world, right, is a sphere, a zoe. Okay? So we learn from the words of the Meraglim, okay, that when you leave Israel, you're going down. There's a Yerida, okay? So therefore, going to Israel is going to be an Aliyah, going up. But how could that be? Because if the world is a sphere, how do we put Eretz Israel on top? Okay? So one obvious answer would be, so leaving the spiritual aside, let's look at the physical reality. Well, it's true it's a sphere, but maybe we're holding the sphere the wrong way. See, we put, you know, like North Pole and South Pole, but maybe the sphere is held that Eretz Yisrael over here is actually the top. We're looking from the wrong perspective. That's such an idea. So it is a globe, it is a sphere, but if you want to look at it the right way, Eretz Yisrael happens to be on top. You know what? I should have printed it out for you. I didn't print it out. But you can look it up online. Old maps of the world used to be drawn by cartographers, right? Map makers, the following way. You can see this online. I had a nice color print of it. Beautiful, actually. They used to draw the world like this. Like that. And they would put the various continents like this. You got Africa and Asia and Europe. Right? And every year is like a new continent. They keep adding. When I was in school, there was five. Now there's seven or something. I don't know. They keep adding them. I don't know what happened over here. And they would put Israel over here. Right? In the middle. Now, what were they doing exactly? So there's a couple of reasons why they did that. One possibility is that they're religious people and saw Israel as the center. Another is that actually Israel is a gateway. Right? From the one side of the world, right, through to the other. You go from the west, and then you go into the east. And Israel happens to be that part on the map which is an entering gateway into the others. So they saw Israel as the gateway into the various parts of the world, you see? And that's really what it was. So Israel happens to have itself a certain geographical reality to it that even the non-Jews recognize that it's the gateway from one side of the world to the other. I don't believe that's a coincidence. I can't prove it to you, but I don't believe that is a coincidence. Let's have a look at a couple of the answers. It says the Marsha, and the Talmud tells us, Beit HaMikdash Gevuah Mikol Eretz Yisrael, that inside Israel, Yerushalayim is the highest part, and then the Temple Mount is the highest part of that. Well, that must be true. Those who travel from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, your ears start popping, because you're going up. There is a physical aliyah, okay? Eretz Yisrael, Gevuah Mikol Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes the Gemara that says the land of Israel is higher than all the lands. So you have Yerushalayim that's the highest within the highest, Temple Mount that's the highest within Yerushalayim, and then you have Eretz Yisrael, which is the highest among the world. Okay? So we're going up, 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 up. Right? And he says, She'olam hu ketapuach. The world is like an apple. Right? Umakam beit HaMikdash shu merkaz olam v'chein Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, traveling the world is viewed as an ascent. Right? You're basically going up. Okay, so he's taking a physical approach. That's the Marsha. It's the physical reality of going up against Eretz Yisrael. Turn over the page. The Maral goes with the more spiritual idea. Okay? So remember, the spies, they say, we've come down from Eretz Yisrael with this stuff. Okay? So trying to figure out, what does it mean, Israel's higher? So we saw the Marsha, now see the Maral. So the Maral says, Eretz Yisrael gevuah mikol Eretz Yisrael, or Beit HaMikdash mikol Eretz Yisrael, we see that already. V'zeki Eretz Yisrael kedusha, he says, no. It's not a physical reality. It's the Maral of Prague, writing what? 500 years ago? I was in a shul. I go to a synagogue once a year in Prague. Okay? And he says it's the holiest place. He says it's a spiritual thing. Spiritually, it's higher. There's a Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Mekor HaKadosh, it's holier than any other land. Right? And by the way, it's called Eretz HaKadosh. It's called the holiest. Right? It's called the holiest. V'chein. Where are we? So he says, "Wait a minute, Kadosh Mikar Eretz Yisrael, V'Devarshu Kadosh, anything that is holier, Elyon Hu Chmari Hu Shafal, anything which is holy is up, anything which is Chomer or physicality is lower." There's not a physical statement. I mean, he may not be disagreeing, but he's like when it refers to high and low, it's talking about the holiness. Eretz Yisrael is holier than any other part of the world. Anything that is holy is referred to as up. And it is not how it's referred to as down. We see that in the Torah as well. Right? We see the great things happen on mountains and bad things happen in deserts. Torah is given on a mountain, a high up. So higher up always connotes something that is big. Whenever a mountain is mentioned in the Torah, you're referring to something which is high, above, elevated, kadosh. Okay? And anything which is low, we're in the Midbar. Midbar is low, barren, nothing there to support you.
When have we been in the Midbar when you're in the desert?
Referring straight to the Torah I'm talking about. Right? But even when you go to Eretz Yisrael, right, Har Ivana, right, Grizim, these are places, the mountains refer to high, elevated places, and the Beit HaMikdash eventually as well, yeah.
Don't people say it's
the
desert, like the
lowest place? Yeah, it is. I don't know. There's a whole discussion why the Dead Sea, it's low because it takes, that's why it's salt, there's a whole discussion.
But in this part, there's nothing else to be done. Isn't it that every place in Israel has like a higher?
Well, it's not the highest in the world.
It has
both very, very high and very, very low, yes. Can I get the Torah out of that? Go right ahead. I haven't seen it, but that's good. You have a lot to talk about.
Have you heard that, though? Or did that make
the highest? Yeah, no, it is the lowest. No, the Dead Sea is the lowest place in the world. Absolutely. The Dead Sea is the lowest physical plateau in the entire world.
So the physical discussion can't really...
I guess it could do. I've never heard it, but it could do, I guess, to some degree. Ulakach. You can say 1 second, but the entire world like a kador, it's like a ball, says the Maral. Right? So then what are you doing? It's arbitrary what you put on top. And he says, nevertheless, you should assume the top of the sphere is Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it's the holiness that puts it there. So we're saying that Eretz Yisrael takes on the top of the world because of its Kedusha. He's like, we're not randomly, arbitrarily saying the world should be looked at like that. We say, no, the Eretz Yisrael is the top, and it's his holiness that gives it that definition, gives it that Kedusha. Okay? And he says, no coincidence that they have to go up. Right? And that's why he used the expression, Aliyah. Right? You go up to Eretz Yisrael, and you go up, you ascend towards the Beit HaMikdash as well. Okay, so the next question we have to look into is, what's the purpose of the land? Why do we need it? Right? So there's a general question, why nations need lands in general. But we're saying our collection of land is different. We're going to see some opinions over here that mitzvah, according to the Ramban, only really take effect in the land of Israel. And everywhere else you do mitzvah, it's just a rehearsal. It's a wild thing. That's the Ramban, who lived outside of Israel and then went in by himself, right? And then ended up buying that. Okay? Let's have a look. Let's see Devarim. Turn to page 7. I know we're going fast, but we've got a lot to do this semester. It says in Devarim, Vav Aleph, and Yud Bet Aleph, V'zot HaMitzvah, HaChokim Mishpatim HaShetzivah Hashem Alokeichem. This is the commandment, the decrees, and the ordinances, right? We did this already. Mishpatim, Chokim. Yeah? We did that already. Lamed Etchem Lasod Be'eretz, Ashatem Ovrim Shama L'Rishta. These are the laws that you're going to have to do in the land of Israel. You'll notice, by the way, the fifth book of the Torah is called
Devarim.
Devarim. Also referred to as Mishnah Torah. What's Mishnah Torah mean?
Double up.
Why double it? Like Deuteronomy. Why? Because many of the laws are repeated in Devarim. By the way, there's many new laws in Devarim as well. But many of them are repeated. There's a Dibrot repeated. So what are the lands repeated? So actually the fifth book of the Torah looks like this. Okay, four fingers over here and one forward. These four relate to what happened before. Okay, this fifth one is actually a speech. Fifth book of Torah is actually a 3-week speech by Moshe Rabbeinu. Imagine a rabbi giving a 3-week speech now, they get killed. Imagine that. Right, but back then they did. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives a speech. That is a preparation for the land of Israel. The laws that are mentioned are repeated, according to Chazal, in Devarim, are the ones the Jewish people would need a reminding of, because they're going to apply very importantly to the land of Israel. The laws that apply to the land of Israel, specifically to the land of Israel, because they're about to become a new nation in the land, are in Devarim. Okay? So there's laws which are specific only for the land of Israel, and there's laws that have to be careful with in the land of Israel, because the land of Israel does not tolerate Aveirot like other parts of the world. Okay? And it says as well, Eilech Chokim v'Mishpatim Asher Tishmur Nasot. These laws you have to guard and do Ba'aret, in the land, Asher Natan Hashem Alakein Lavtecha, which gave to your forefathers, L'chal Rishta, Kol Ha'amim Asher Atem Chayim Al Adama, the entire time that you live on the land. Look at the Ramban, an amazing Ramban, from Vayikra, Yud Chet. Okay, and he says, Amra B'Sifri, he's going to quote the Sifri, Va'avarta Mehera. Right, don't give the background of it. If your hearts lead you astray, and you serve about to Avar Hashem, you will be quickly banished. We are being warned in the Torah that if we don't follow the mitzvot in the land of Israel, we get kicked out. There is a connection between how we behave in the land and being kicked out. This does not apply to any other nation, any other land. Exact opposite, right? If they are really, really bad and misbehave, right, and they have dictatorships going on over there, they get to stay. With the Eretz Yisrael, it's 360. Exact opposite. Our relationship and our connection and our right to the land of Israel is directly linked to how we behave on it. Now, certain mitzvot keep us on the land more than others. We know that sexual immorality keeps us out. That is why Avram Avinu, before he was allowed in the land of Israel, had to have a Brit Milah. There's a connection between Avram Avinu going into Eretz Yisrael and a Brit Milah, because that part of the body is a reference specifically to that range of mitzvot and of veirot to that part of the body. So we know already there's something specific about sexual morality that kicks us out. And by the way, not just Jews. The land itself does it, even to non-Jewish nations. Right? They can give up their... I'll tell you a wild thing, by the way. There's an opinion. You know that the Jewish people want to enter into Israel after Matan Torah. So the Meraglim went into Israel, and they... Do you remember this story from the Torah? There were funerals going on that distracted the people from the Meraglim. Do you remember learning this in yeshiva growing up? Yeah, fantastic, great. Okay, no problem. When the Meraglim, yes, when the Meraglim went in, it says over there that they saw there were funerals happening. There's a rush over there. And why did that happen? What do they refer to the land as a place that Ochel Yoshev, that it kills, it eats up its inhabitants. Why? Because there were funerals everywhere, right? So why did Hashem did that as a tova, so they wouldn't notice the Meraglim, the spies, and they would get involved, and they could march around without being threatened. But they came back and they made it bad. Oh, this is a land that kills and eats its inhabitants.
So actually, that funeral was actually one funeral of Eov, Job. According to one opinion, Job lived, he was a non-Jew, Eov, who lived in Eretz Yisrael. He had such merit that through his merit, he was able to keep the Jewish people out. Wild, right? So Hashem had to have him die at that time, according to one opinion. According to one opinion. That's what he allowed, that's what he made him do. And he was actually known, very famous, so they're involved in burying Eov, maybe others as well, I don't know. Okay? So what do they say from that? They say that the people at that time, they had merit that protected them. Once their merit went, they lost their merit, and that would have allowed the Bnei Israel to go in and conquer the land. Non-Jews get merit as well. There's no coincidence that right now there are Muslims, says Rav Chaim Vital. I'll show you this piece later in the semester. There's a reason why the Bnei Ishmael, the Arabs today, have control over parts of Israel. That's not coincidence. Why them specifically, and why specifically on Temple Mount, they get merit. They do milah, they daven, they get merit for that. And they get, now they don't get it for olam haba. They get it for a short nachala, and eventually they want to give it back to us. They're going to want to give it back to us. That's the big chush. Okay?
But why should Hashem give
so there's something we're going to get to. I can't do it right now. I promise you we'll do it this semester. I'll show you the source itself. So there's something about the land of Israel that if you don't do the mitzvah, you get banished. The land can't handle it. Okay? Afal pi, shani megalet chem in ha'aretz, l'chutz la'aretz, even though he says that I am exiling you from the land of Israel, hayu mitzuyanim v'mitzvot, I'm still going to let you perform mitzvot. Why? Sheketeshechazru lo yo'alechem chadashim. So when you come back to Israel, the mitzvot won't seem like new. Why am I giving you mitzvot chutz la'aretz? So that when you, just as a rehearsal, as a practice, so that when you come back, because really mitzvot for Eretz Yisrael, that's what the mitzvot are for. But when you come back to the land of Israel, and if you didn't do mitzvot, you weren't practicing outside, what's going to happen? Boop! You won't be used to them. What's the fill-in? What's kosher? No problem. You do mitzvot outside, ideally prepared. Do they affect us? Yes, we get reward, but really mitzvot for Eretz Yisrael, that's the Ramban. Don't shoot them. I'm telling you what they're on. Look at them. I'm shooting them on. Mashal, he gives a mashal. Give you an analogy to this idea. La adon, shakas, alishto, right? A king or a man gets upset with his wife. Vishalcha labayit avia, and he kicks her out to her father's house. Yeah. Amala, he says to her, have a mitkashetet, tachshitim, prepare yourself, adorn yourself with beautiful jewels and diamonds. Shekashetechazri, so when you come back, they won't be new and unfamiliar to you. That's the mashal. What's the nimshal? The Jewish people were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Well, they still have to keep the laws and the mitzvot outside, so that when they come back, they will be new to them. Because the natural state of the Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael, and the natural state of the Jewish people, this is the Ramban, the Rishon, the natural state of us is to have mitzvot. Oh, you do mitzvot outside? That's just to keep you ready. Because you're going back. It's a wild Ramban.
So we definitely want to have to do mitzvah.
I wouldn't say that. I would say the reason why we have to do mitzvah outside.
So,
to prepare us. You may have to do them as well. We have command, you have to do the mitzvah wherever you are.
So Hashem gave us these mitzvah like before, like he knew that we were going to get kicked out, so he gave it to us in the bar or whatever to do outside, so when we go back in, we'll be...
That is the exact implication of the Ramban. That's a good reading of the Ramban. Exactly. Yes.
So if it's saying that if we don't do the mitzvot, we're going to get kicked out, there's so many people in Israel that are not even like...
Good question.
So how are we
I always get that question. How can it be? It could well be, just at the time of Eov, one person's merit, and by this happens through history, you see in the Gemara as well, certain people have so much merit, the entire world is feeding off one person's chut. It could be that the 10-15% of Jews in it could be, you know, who keep Shabbat, okay, it could be through their merit, you get there as well. It could be that the others who don't, they have other merits that do it. It could be Schot Avot, right? It could be that, you know, every Israeli's grandfather was a rabbi, you know, always like, oh, my grandfather's a rabbi, look at my rabbi. He was a chacham in Baghdad, he was a rabbi in Lithuania. Don't look at me. It could be Schot Avot, we don't know. It could be that great-grandmother was benching licht, right? Was doing Adlakat Nerot on Erev Shabbat, right? And be Makabal Shabbat and said, how much will be saved in Israel and get to be there? Who knows? Could we be feeding off? Whatever it is, we don't want to feed on Pas Chiyot. You know what I'm saying? We want to have the merit there itself. Because Chas V'Chalila, Lo Aleinu, things change.
You've got to be foolish not to look at Jewish history. See how many times we've been kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. You know? So, I don't know. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Hashem's in management. He knows what's going on. I'm just selling the product over here, right, sister? All right, fantastic. So that's the Ramban. Let's look at the Pisgah Shuv. Let's just move forward a little bit. Amazing sources here. Amazing. It should be changing your head. Your head should be squeezed over here. In there, Ramban. The Ramban, Mane Mitzvot, Zobah Klal Mitzvot. He actually includes, the Ramban is unique among the other commentators, he actually includes the mitzvah of Yishuv Ha'aretz as one of the Tarag Mitzvot. One of the 613 Mitzvot in the Torah is to live in the land of Israel. That's the Ramban. Others disagree with it. Listen, everyone says Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. No one says different to that. Everyone says, well, they should. Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. Mitzvot are special. It's got a special Kedusha. They may disagree and say we shouldn't, as a wave, enter in. They shouldn't be secular. Okay, well, yada, yada, yada. But there isn't a Jew alive, right, who knows the sources, who would say, Chas v'chalila, Eretz Yisrael is the most Kadosh. Okay? But not everyone says it's a mitzvah to live there. Okay? Or an obligation to try to get there and live there. They may say being there is a mitzvah. Says the Pitchei Shuva, it's interesting, the Ramban lists Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tarag mitzvahs. Mana mitzvah, zo b'klal mitzvot. Right? Right? As it says, v'irashtem otov yeshavtem ba. You should overtake it. He's like, there wasn't a... those are the words from the Torah. He's like, that wasn't just a statement for them back then, and from then on, you know, it's up to you. You can't. According to the Ramban, there is a mitzvah incumbent on every Jew in every generation to go in Eretz Yisrael and overtake it. Wild. Why? The key, he shakula kenei kol mitzvot. And he's like, not only that, this mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael is like Shabbat. It's equal to all the other mitzvot. Yipa Sifri. Chedru Sadesh, and he brings down all the sources. Okay? And there he says, "Imken kol hazmanim shavim lakem mitzvado." He's like, Eretz Yisrael is not certain generations, certain times. Every single time, through history, there is an obligation to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's the Ramban. And as he said, it's equal. It's equal to the mitzvah. The mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael are more precious. There's just that. And the Aveirot in Eretz Yisrael are worse, because the implications are much greater as well. Okay? Let me finish this part. Turn over the page. How great is the land of Israel? But this amazing piece of Gemara. I remember hearing this as a kid. My Rebbe used to say this to us as children. The Rambam passes this lalacha. Every Dalet Amot, a person walks, every what? 4 to 6 steps, a person walks in Eretz Yisrael, is a mitzvah. Kol hamahalech arba amot Eretz Yisrael, muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Just walking the land of Israel is a mitzvah. Amazing. When I was a kid, I used to walk around like, mitzvah. But you got to have the kavanah. If you're walking around and you hate Jew, you hate Torah, you hate mitzvot, I don't think it's going to help you. Right? You got to have some kavanah. But just being in Eretz Yisrael, Let me ask you a question. It's going to sound like a joke to you. I tell all the jokes. Right, no? And they're funny, right? Yeah. If I were to ask you, this is unbelievable. Just check this out. Think of your African-American Jewish man. What comes to head?
African-American?
Sorry. Your average American Jewish man. What? Your average American Jewish man. What image comes to your head? Like Woody Allen. He's a nebuch. He's complaining. If I said your average Israeli, Koach, strong guy, you know. Why is that? How come the Jews in America, you think of some puny little guy with glasses being beaten up, right? Eretz Yisrael, It's true. The land itself creates different people. I'm telling you this. As someone pointed out to me, a friend once pointed out to me, he says, why is champagne so good? Because grapes from Chardonnay can only come from Chardonnay, right? Grapes from Champagne can only come from Champagne, right? They grow better over there. Certain things grow better. The Jewish people grow better in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Metzius. Right? Outside with a puny little 5'2" Jew, right? He's like schlepping around. You get Eretz Yisrael, he's like a big hunking guy. He's good looking, he's strong. What's that? He's got a saint. Both came from Europe. Nachon? Both came from Europe. Both came from Baghdad. There's a little schlepper over here running his little business. And so over here, he's like ready to take over the world. He's like an army. Strong, right? In Israel, he's like a little guy with a big nose. I believe Eretz Yisrael creates these people. Eretz Yisrael, the land itself.
You're saying those people are better than others?
I didn't say better. I said the land of Israel. Just like, are grapes better from champagne than everyone else? You don't like to make champagne?
Hashem
from grapes and champagne.
To be like stubborn and like that, angry all the time and stuff.
Sure, little Jim.
Whoa, whoa.
what is that about?
But is
that
the
it's
way
true.
Of life, not the land itself?
I'm telling you, happy to that too. I'm telling you, the way of life is dependent upon the land. That's what I'm telling you. I'm turning on his head. I know I'm turning on a raising idea with you. I'm telling you, the land of Israel creates different people, different beings, different energy. By the way, I have one of my cousins, a big, he's a Rosh Hashiva, he's a Rav, a Magichir in the Mir. Don't look at me. In my family, there's some big. So he said to me, why is the Eretz Yisrael? Everyone's like so angry, fighting, arguing, boop, boop, boop. Because Eretz Yisrael has so much Kedusha, when there's like, that you feel it.
So why would there be fighting?
Because it's felt.
Is it the Kedusha? There's
yes,
fighting people
yes,
are angry?
Yes, 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 yes. Because you feel it, it's full. It's full of it.
Here everyone is dull.
It's like full of life, yeah.
Right.
So like
yeah.
They take it out.
You might notice this air is louder than everywhere else. Even air, they take it with them, right? It exports.
And which one is having more fun? 100%.
I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not with these people, these white people. Come and look at them. Okay, you know what? Let's stop over there. We'll pick this up next class. God willing, we're going to finish it off next class. You learned a lot today. We did a lot today. You should feel good. Please remind me where we are, okay? We're at part B. All right. Have a great day.